Want to bring Christian greetings to each one this morning and welcome to this part of the service. Want to welcome all our visitors to worship with us today. Glad you're here. There's a powerful song we just sang, and those closing words, the power of his salvation shall never fail, is really a tremendous promise for us today. I'm so much enjoying the study of our Sunday school lesson in the Gospel of John. It's just like going to a mine. You have layers and layers and layers of truth there that we only uncover a little bit at a time. But there is so much there, and it's so rewarding to be in there and to just look at that. There's so much truth there in that, and it's so rich. So such a blessing. Last Sunday we talked a little bit about Jesus walking on the water. In fact, it was in our lesson last Sunday. We didn't talk about it, I don't think, at all. But that's such a beautiful story of Jesus going across and his disciples walking on the... his disciples there in trouble and he's walking, doing something that man can't do unless it's frozen. But there he was, walking on the water. And one of the other Gospels, Mark, I believe it is, that Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to thee on the water." And he did. And Peter was also there walking on the water. And it was good as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But when he started looking around and seeing the water and the waves, and then he began to sink, and it says, and he cried, "Lord, save me." And another story, maybe it's the same one, but in a different gospel, Jesus was there, or I guess he was sleeping in the boat at this time, and the storm came up, and he just stood up, and he said, and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it ceased. And his disciples just marveled at him and said, "What manner of man is this, that even the waves, the winds, and the sea obey him?" You know, if their eyes would have been opened a little bit farther, they would have seen Jesus not only as a master of winds and sea, but they would have seen him as creator, that he actually made this. He knew every atom. He knew what it took. And it was no small thing for him just to rebuke the winds and the sea, and immediately there was a calm. Well, you know, the multitude that followed Jesus, they only saw a very small part of him as well. And when he promised that he could give bread that would always satisfy, that he that would drink of him would be always satisfied, They didn't see very much of that either. Their eyes were pretty much blinded. And very much the same way that much of Christianity is today. Jesus he's the answer for man's problems. He's the answer for our need. And yet, many times, that simple answer is overlooked for other things. This past week, our country experienced a very grievous assault in a school. And many people are saying, ban assault rifles, ban guns. And you know, if there would be no guns available, that kind of thing wouldn't have happened. But the wickedness that comes from the heart is the wickedness that needs to be banned. And Jesus is the answer for that kind of wickedness. We have the story of David when he was fleeing from Saul. And he had Saul's word that he would not do him any harm. But Saul just turned again and did him harm again. And David said, there's a proverb from the ancients that said, "Wickedness proceedeth from the wicked." And really saw it in Saul's life, you know. He could promise David that You know, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And right away he did it again. I was going to read that, but I don't want to take the time to do that this morning, so I'm just going to pass on that one. But wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but the testimony that we have of David is that he was a man after God's heart, and David gave Saul many chances to do what was right. In the end, David was pretty discouraged, but we know who came through at the end, and it was David. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 17, and this is a tremendous story again in the life of Jesus, the life of Peter, James, and John, that their eyes were, they could see, but they couldn't see everything, and they could see a lot. They had, this was an experience that it must have been just tremendous. And they could see a long ways, and they could see a lot, but they couldn't see everything. This is the story of the Transfiguration, chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid. And when he had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. I'd like to just pause there and just consider. Jesus, Peter, James, and John up there on the mountain. And all at once, there's this bright light. And so bright that it was probably impossible to look at. And Peter is very much like we are today. He was outspoken. He was seldom at a loss for words. And he said, look, let's make three tabernacles. Maybe we would say, let's build three museums that will highlight the lives of each of these. One for you, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And, you know, certainly it's good to look at Moses and Elijah. But we see that they all came together in Christ. Moses was a type of the law. Elijah was a type of the prophets. And Christ was the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets. And certainly that was a tremendous experience for them to see the ability to be able to see how that all came together in Christ, that all the things that the law, that all the details of the law were simply pointing them ahead to Christ. And they couldn't see it at the time. They couldn't understand how this all came together. But here on the Mount, if their eyes were open and they could see clearly, and they had the opportunity, at least at this point, to see how that Jesus was the answer to both the law and the prophets that were given all those years before. Peter refers to this in his epistle when he writes that we were with him in the Holy Mount. And he said that this is not this is not just a fable, but this is truth. And, you know, I believe that we can have that same confidence that what Jesus has said he will do and what he has done, he will do. And it's not a fable, it is truth. And we can hold that in our heart and it make a difference in our life. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood is simply having Jesus in our life and having that part, having his life in us. And that is the water that flows out and gives a blessing to those around us. That is the bread that gives life to those around us as well. It's without that, it's futile. It's just a matter of dead works. But with Jesus' life, it makes a difference. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.